Blog Talk Radio.
Blue Shirt Panda Radio, here's Maddie and Eddie.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Blue Shirt Panda Radio. Tonight is Tuesday, March 29th. We are back with you tonight because the Rangers are taking on Buffalo Sabres tomorrow night. So we're here on a special night with you Tuesday night. And I'm joined, as always, by my partner and friend, Eddie. How are you?
Hello. Oh, wait, that's for the other show. How's everybody doing in the his house? Rangers, big victory on against Boston on Saturday. I am doing fine. I am no longer fiddling while Rome is burning. I believe the Rangers are on their way to the promised land, which are the NHL playoffs. So I am doing well.
Glad to hear it. We'll be scoreboard watching for you tonight. We've got a couple of games on the schedule, or on the sked, as some would say, that are of special interest to the Rangers. We've got the Sabres taking on Toronto. And as soon as the schedule pulls up, I'll tell you who else we've got. Montreal's playing Atlanta. And, well, if you still have pipe dreams, we got, I'm not giving up on it yet, but Tampa Bay is also in action tonight against someone. If the NHL page would pull up for me, I could tell you who, but somebody in the chat room will probably know it shortly. So, yeah, we'll give you scores. We'll keep you guys updated on that. And, let's start by talking about the big party on Saturday. Eddie, great day, not just because the Rangers won, and I would like to, as I said at the end of the game on Saturday, Blue Shirt Banner is now not only 2-0 in their viewing parties, but the opposition hasn't scored on us yet, Eddie.
We're playing good defense, but the secret to a good Blue Shirt Banner viewing party defense is a good offense. And I don't mean by scoring, I mean by being offensive. Because we had a rowdy crowd down there.
Yeah, we sure did.
Molly, I mean, it was like the old blue seats. I mean, that was just, it was R-rated. But it was very R-rated, and I loved it. I had a great time, and all the people down there. And I got to thank Eva and Claude for, kind of setting it up, kind of going down there and seeing if they had the Wi-Fi and all that stuff. And so many people, I have to thank everybody that came down. You guys are awesome. I had a great time to watch the game and a collect, all watching it once. I got to see the different personalities of everybody as watching the game. And it really made my 2011. But just to as reference, my 2011 hasn't been all that great. I don't want to get too crazy here. But you had so many great people down there and a lot of fun. And I got to tell you, Mario Mercado put it the best way. He has had an experience of the old Ranger fan club. And it really had that vibe of being everybody's a character down there. Everybody's got a certain little thing they bring to the table. And it was packed. I mean, it was great. And the Rangers win is the old, the old boni, the old bonus trick. And like you said, no goals against. And I had a good time. And I got to learn everybody's name, too, which with this whole Facebook screen name on Blog Talk to get people to know, get to know their real names. I mean, it's like everybody has three names. So it's AKA this, AKA that, and then you finally, hey, your name's Derek? Okay, cool. So So,
yeah, everybody they got their Twitter name, they got their screen name on Blue Shirt Banner, they got their real name. Yeah, everybody's got three personalities. What a group though. You pegged it, man. It was like sitting in the old blue seats. I mean, it was raunchy. It was R rated. I loved every minute of it. They're chanting that Lucci, just going crazy. Those guys up that was sitting up in the front. I mean, they were just going off the whole game. And then you got Costa, that nut, sitting there. He's like an alarm clock. He just sits there very quietly with his hands on his chest there, sits there very quietly watching the game, and all of a sudden, ding, and off he goes. He's shaking like a junkie, going crazy, screaming at Hendrick, screaming at the Rangers, and then he stops again. You know, he's like,
that's what I like. He's just like, he's a virtual Mount Vesuvius of emotion. I mean, he's just boom, and then it's a spastic flurry of hand motions, and his head does a full turn like Linda Blair, and then boom. That's what I like. I like the emotion. Everybody was, plus everybody was so nice. I mean, and even a Bruin fan came in, which you know.
I don't know what that was all about. I was trying to take her. I was trying to get her to take her shirt off. Well, because she was wearing a Bruins jersey. I can't, you know.
That's why. You know, she was wearing a Ray Bourque jersey, so I couldn't really get on it too much. I mean, you know. And it does take a little bit of gumption, so to speak, to come to an event. And she wasn't yelling and bragging and all that stuff, though she didn't have much opportunity since her team did not score a goal.
That's right. And speaking of Mario, I just posted the link in the chat room there of the slideshow of pictures that Mario did, and they are fantastic. I mean, there are so many great pictures in there. You know, he did a fantastic job of capturing the day. And I sat here last night after I got home and looked at those pictures again with just a big smile on my face. It was a great day. Marcy was there, and Robbie, we got to meet the great Robbie, Guy Lombardo, who I said reminds me of a Bowery boy, and only a few of us knew that, got that reference. But Robbie didn't drink. His dad was there watching over him. His dad was kind of hovering in the background. So Robbie was hanging out with us, and Dave Shapiro was there, and just everybody. And just to get to meet everybody.
Frosty and his wife.
Frosty and his wife.
The Ropers.
Frosty and his wife were there before the doors opened, standing out there shivering with us on 8th Avenue because it was effing cold. I mean, they are two of the goods, no doubt about it. And Frosty, Frosty had that great line. I don't want to get into the whole thing, but when his wife told him about complained to him about his eyesight, and all he said was, "I've seen enough." That's one of the great lines. I kept thinking of that all day today, and it made me laugh every time I thought about it. So it was a great time, and because this one was in a bar setting, more of a bar setting, and because we were pretty much, I mean, the bar had, I would say there were between 75 and 100 Ranger fans in there, and there was pretty much nobody else in there. I mean, the bar, it was just all Ranger fans. And because of that, and I think because we had all already met, you know, once or twice or more, we were all a little more comfortable with each other. I had a lot more fun on Saturday at this viewing party than we did in the one in November. The one in November was great, but this one was just, it was, for me, it was a lot more fun. It was like we all knew each other. We were comfortable with each other. It was louder. We didn't have to deal with anybody else that was in the bar. There was none of the other bullshit and drama that went on at the first viewing party. You know, nobody was hawking nothing. It was just us getting together, watching the Rangers, having a good time, and I'll tell you what, it was just a fantastic day. I'm glad we did it. Thank you, Eva, for suggesting it. Thank you, Eva, for going down there and kind of making the arrangements. Thank you to everybody who showed up. It was just a wonderful day, and it's very humbling and overwhelming when 75 to 100 people show up just to see a couple of guys who just like to hear themselves talk on the radio.
Well, I was expecting a big crowd because, let's face it, I am a somewhat quasi-celebrity in Rangers circles. I was very confident throughout the week that we get it. It was you that I had to calm down a little bit about maybe a sparse showing.
You want to stick with that story or you want to make up another one?
I actually was worried, folks. I was worried about the whole thing. So, you know, but you guys came through. You guys came through, and it was great. It was a lot of fun. And Jim had confidence in you. I didn't. Because let's face it, you people really aren't much. No, I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding, ladies and gentlemen. I love you. You know I embrace you. You embrace. I embrace you. You're part of this Ranger craziness. And we're on our way. As Yogi Bear used to say in the cartoon, we're on our way to the perfect place. The perfect place. Here we go. So that's when he had that arc and that whole thing. But what am I talking about? Anyway, I got to meet you. Mario M., just terrific. Terrific man, terrific human. I got to see the master of brutality there. Caught him in some candid pictures there. Nothing indecent, but still frosty again, like I said. Eddie Johnstone was not there, but did send me his apologies. And Cutter TML was part of a trivia contest in which I asked what city was Cutter TML from. And somebody did say Kitchener, Ontario. So people know about you, Cutter. And then somebody said, Kitchener's not a city, and that question was disqualified immediately. So anyway, we have a lot of things to talk about. Enough with this party. It was great. I loved it. But, the great Tommy Grant is in the fold now.
Tommy Grant. I saw that name come up, and I thought it was Rocky Five. Tommy Grant.
Yeah, Tommy Gunn. Yeah.
Hey, yo, Tommy Grant. It stinks of opportunity, yeah. Rocco.
So, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's going on the docket of this show. What are we doing tonight? How do you got it set up, Jimbo? I'm free and easy, baby. I'm like the wind.
Here, let me give the scores real quick. I think looks like Buffalo is tied 3-3. In the second period, I think that was. I don't know. NHL just crapped out on me again, as it does often. Montreal over Atlanta 2-0. And I don't think there's any score in the Tampa Bay Ottawa game yet. So let's see. Buffalo Toronto 3-3 in the second. Carolina Washington 1-0 in the second. Carolina over Washington 1-0. And Montreal over Atlanta 2-0 in the first. No score. Ottawa and Tampa Bay end of first. But you know Ottawa's not going to win. Because we're counting on them tonight.
Oh, yeah. They've been playing good, too, of late. But, it's going to be tough. It ain't over yet. It ain't over. Don't everybody get crazy. You know, don't give up on me. Don't give up on them yet. I like that Ottawa's work ethic now that they've cut all the laziness out of that team. So, anyway... you want to talk about the Ranger-Bruin game? I mean, I don't know where to go. You lead me.
We could start there if you want. Not much to talk about other than a goal by Stepan and more greatness out of Henrik Lundqvist and another you got run into again and didn't get up right away. And
well,
you want to see a ball with 75 people go quiet. That's how you do it.
Well, I guess let's start off with I have decided what we're going to start off after I asked you. Well, I want to tell you what went down before the game.
Oh,
me and my distinguished colleague, Jim Schmiederberg, who you've been listening to, along with me for many moons now, my lovely wife of 3 years, 3.5 years of marital bliss.
There she is.
Uh-oh. I can't believe she's calling me during a show. Anyway, we parked at the parking garage there right across, next to Cafe 31 on 31st Street in Manhattan. We parked the car. We take the elevator down. We get out. And who do we see like a vision? Well, Mr. Ron Duguay. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, why are you booing Ron Duguay, I wonder? We see Ron Duguay, and he's stepping out of his Jaguar. And I'm standing out there, and I've got my Ranger regalia on there, my Ranger Dumb and Dumber hat, as Frosty says. Jim's got some kind of Ranger stuff on, right? We're holding Ranger signs, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
And I say to Ron, my wife's just about to snap a picture. She's getting the camera out, and I go, "Hello, Mr. Duguay." And what does he do, Jim?
Hi.
And then just snubs me. He snubbed the mouth, ladies and gentlemen. And my friend Jimmy S. And my wife. He just nodded and went on his way. So, he's dead to me.
That's right.
You hear me? He's dead to me in this show. He'll never do this show. He can beg me. He can bring Ted Danico in his muscle. That bald-headed devil stooge in here. And try to get on this show. You don't do my show. Banned. 1 year.
Oh, it's just 1 year?
Well, it's like the soup Nazi. Banned. 1 year.
No show for you. 1 year.
No show for you. That's right. It's the mouth Nazi. So, Ron Duguay, you're too good for me. Get your Jaguar, drive over a cliff. Make your $100 doing your little dog and pony show with Bill Pito. Those guys get paid nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. See?
See?
Yeah, see? Nobody snubs them out, see? Who do you think you are, Duguay? Huh? See? Who do you think you are, snubbing us like that in the parking garage? What's the matter with you? Yes, as Seth just said, Ron Duguay, I fart in your general direction.
Oh, my God. Another Monty Python nerd. That's all I need. Anyway. So Ron Duguay is non gratis. If you call this show and mention his name,
boom.
There'll be demerits. Let's just put it that way.
Boom.
Well, that's up to you whether you want to boom. Yeah. I mean, so that was, we had a good story to tell when we got to the bar.
Is that 5 o'clock Charlie at your house?
Oh, you heard that, huh?
Yeah. 5 o'clock Charlie.
Yeah, I know. It's MASH reference.
Yeah, the older crowd.
Comedian nowadays. Meanwhile, it's Gaddafi bombing my house, and you're laughing it up. Yuck it up. There's no fly zone over Lake Rakakaba. All right. Blue shirt band of Charlie just came across. So the show starts. It comes over. So I thought the Rangers played another great defensive game. Duh. Although I thought in the third period they played a Katie by the door. And I'll basically battle down the hatches. You had talked about the running of Henrik Lundqvist, and you were right. The whole bar went silent, and I'm used to seeing like nonsense, and I was just like, he'll shake it off his head. There was actually like some fans with their hands over their head, like really worried about Henrik. And I really understood, I really did at that point understand how much he really means to some Ranger fans. We certainly know how much he means to the team, but people got a very emotionally involved in Henrik. Well, I am too. I want him to get up. I'm a Henrik supporter. And I want to wish him, but again, and every time he gets run, I keep thinking of the same thing, Jim. I keep thinking of Glenn Sather in the beginning of the season, actually in the off season, when they signed Derek Bougard. The reason that they signed Derek Bougard was that he will make sure that people don't run Henrik Lundqvist. They got the best in the business. And even though that has nothing to do with, it has nothing to do with clearing the crease with Derek Bougard. So anyway, that was disheartening, but the Rangers are, I believe, on their way. I don't know what the situation. Now, we're tied with Montreal before tonight, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Montreal, you said, was winning, correct?
Yes. Last time I checked, it was 2-0.
Okay. And how many games do they have left? See how much preparation I do for this show, ladies and gentlemen?
After tonight, they will have 5 games remaining, and the Rangers will have 6 games remaining. 2-0 Montreal at the end of the first. Buffalo and Toronto still tied 3-3. Carolina still up on Washington 1-0. Ottawa and Tampa end of first, no score. Scott Clark,
I guess,
NHL scores.
Scott Clark, oh god. And so I wanted to ask you,
Len Berman.
Now there was who was that other guy?
Jerry Girardi. Jerry Girard.
Anyway, do you think now Avery got, you know, Avery was feisty in that game. And had to fight and the whole bit. Do you see him staying in the lineup, or do you see it just as a temporary thing?
Well, the problem is that Avery played a very good game on Saturday. But I think we've seen enough of Sean Avery to know that he doesn't play like that every night. And that's the problem. At least in my opinion. You tell me I'm wrong, but he doesn't play like that every night. He worked hard the other night on Saturday, got into corners, he was getting in faces, he got into a bit of a scrum right off the bat. I mean, that was only a couple of minutes into the game, I think. He dropped the gloves, but he doesn't play like that every night. So, you know, there's the rub.
Well, maybe if you mixed him in. Say you play Zuccarello, tomorrow, and then, you know, he sits and you kind of sprinkle him in, he'll have that more of that hunger, you know, or maybe that'll be kind of a spark for Sean to do what he needs to do to be a part of this lineup. Because, being I said this on the last show, being a hard worker and being a gritty guy is pretty much everybody on this team. You have to do something a little bit more. If you're not putting goals in the net, at times he's looked good with Gabrick and Benespark, but he needs to do those extra pestering things in a positive pesterer, to use some alliteration.
And I get what you're saying, but I'm going to disagree with you because simply because this
guy. I'll dare you!
Yeah, I know. This guy's had almost 2 full seasons and 2 months, plus a round of the playoffs under this coach. You're going to tell me he doesn't get it yet, how he's got to play every night to succeed for this coach? When is the light switch going to go off for this guy? How old is he now? 28, 29? How old is Sean Avery? He's about 29, right? 28, 29, 30?
Yeah, he's not 30 yet, but he's close to it. But in defense, how much of it's being curtailed by Tortorella telling him not to take bad penalties and not to get into it? I mean, I think I agree with you more than, me playing devil's advocate here. Speaking of which, the Devils are not making the playoffs this year. Oh, sorry. That's very unprofessional of me. I really, as a radio broadcast,
this is not a professional show. If you came here hoping to hear a couple of professionals do a radio show, now you got in about 6 minutes. You can tune into Paulie D. Anywho, moving right along.
Oh my lord.
So yeah, I mean, I said it 3 weeks ago. I'll still say it. He played a good game on Saturday. I'm not even gonna say a great game, but a good game on Saturday. Made his presence known. But you're not going to get that every night from him. And if the light switch hasn't gone on with him with this coach yet, it ain't never going to happen. His roster spot could be filled very nicely by a dozen other people at least. It's a brand new day. We're moving in youth. It's all about youth.
Got to have the youths. Yeah,
young.
I don't care if he's a snappy dresser. I think he's a guy that in a playoff series, if you inject them in one or two games, he could be a difference maker as far as, maybe getting under some people's skin. So I think he's still an asset, can be an asset this year. Going long term, like you said, it's the novelty has worn off. You remember when Avery first came here, it was our record with Avery in the lineup, and now it's with Fedotenko in the lineup. Because seriously, I would love to see the Rangers' record with Fedotenko in the lineup, because certainly without it, it's horrible. And I don't know why that is, but I would definitely try to get Russell and Fedotenko back on this team next year just to ensure that you win some games. But he's been a good soldier. And the only thing I'll say nice about Avery is, and everybody will say, well, he's getting paid, he's an athlete, blah, blah, blah. But he has been a good soldier about this not playing and stuff. He's been a team guy. But like you said, we need to see more on the ice. So,
breaking news from the Blue Shirt Banner Radio Sports Desk. Toronto, 4-3 over Buffalo.
All right.
Go Leafs, go.
Cutter Leafs, taking care of business.
And Cutter, as long as you're here, go figure out the Rangers record with Fedotenko in the lineup. Please.
Yeah.
We'll put him to work tonight.
I
don't know. He'll figure it out. He'll figure it out. Bob Page.
So that's good. Go Leafs, go. Yeah, you got that right, Frosty. We need some miracles.
We don't need
miracles. A true blue. It's a miracle. A true blue spectacle. A miracle is you. Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Hey.
Once you say monologue, there's nothing left.
Hugs, not drugs. Good night, everybody.
Cutter, you would look it up because I asked you to, and I said please. That's why you would do it. Because if I mentioned some obscure hockey player from 1919 who played for the Manitoba Moose Knuckles, you'll go pull me all his stats off Wikipedia and every place else. So go find me the record for the Rangers with Russell and Fedotenko in the lineup. It's the least you could do for me. Right? Am I wrong here?
Right.
Just start handing out assignments.
So, we joked that at the top of the show, the Rangers have, once again, apparently they have one scout, and he's located in Anchorage, Alaska. This is like the fourth guy they've gotten from Anchorage. The great Tommy Grant has been signed. They also announced the signing today, right? And he already had two assists. Yeah, he already had two assists with the Whale last night, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little late. John Rosasco must have overslept.
John Halligan would have had that released out last night.
That's right. John Halligan was a man.
That's right.
John Rosasco's a rat.
John Halligan didn't sleep the entire time he worked for the New York Rangers.
him and his wife worked diligently to build the Rangers.
That's right.
But surely with a fan club on the John Halligan. I don't know if you fans are aware of this. Well, since I say it every other week, you may be aware of this. The New York Ranger fan club ceases to exist, which is an abomination, my brethren. And I'll tell you why it ceases to exist. Because about 3 or 4 years ago, the Rangers decided to institute a thing called Blue Shirt United, where you got to meet and greet the Ranger players. Therefore, they weren't available to the New York Ranger fan club. They were exclusive to only Blue Shirt United. And did you have to pay for Blue Shirt United, Brother Jim?
Yes, you do.
That's right, to access their forums and their ridiculousness.
And not only that, but you are, as a fan, judged by how much money you spend by joining Blue Shirts United.
The New York Rangers.
The more money you spend, the more access you get to your beloved Blue Shirts.
Now,
cashish, as we say.
Wouldn't you think that it would come under public relations? I would think so. And John Rosasco, if you don't know it, my friends, is the public relations director for the New York Rangers at present. The New York Ranger fan club, for $10 or so, you could join. There were monthly meetings. You got a little card in the mail that says you were part of the New York Ranger fan club. In the old days, you got to meet and greet the players. There were luncheons. There were dinners. There were road trips to games. All this in the name of Ranger camaraderie. The Ranger fan club was founded by a Ranger, Frank Boucher.
Yep.
This year, the New York Ranger fan club ceased to exist. For the first time in 50 years, they've closed up shop. I don't think if John Halligan was around, this would have happened. So, in the name of the almighty dollar, they drove him out. And I just want to say it's an abomination. And this concludes the mouse sermon for Tuesday night, March 29th.
Oh, yay, oh, yay. Go in peace, my friends.
So
may
John,
he who illuminated this illuminate me. Somebody posted a picture of this guy, Tommy Grant, in the chat room. Holy Christ, this guy looks like Beetlejuice.
Yeah, he's a mess.
He's not a handsome fellow, let me tell you.
Well, I mean, listen, what are you, Brad Pitt?
I didn't say that.
He looked like he got beat up before the picture. That's what it looked like. he looks a little worse for wear there. Somebody said on one of the boards today, I can tell a lot about a player by the way he presents himself in his photo. Now, is that the stupidest thing I've ever heard? You don't know if the guy just came off the ice and they snapped his picture. What, he spent like all week grooming for this thing? And I don't know what he took that little dinky picture of him. Give it a break. Right, Jim?
I agree. Yeah, I have nothing to add to that.
Okay.
Sorry.
He got 2 assists in his first game as a Whale. That ain't bad. Tommy Grant, this Bud's for you. Oh, we have no sponsors. This Crystal Light's for you. Speaking of which, at this, I tell you, Mario Morgado is one of the funniest dudes. He's like, Eddie, you sure you don't want some juice? Come on, have some juice, Eddie. He's obsessed with me having juice. What, I look juice deficient? I do look a little deficient in a lot of things. I'm a mental deficient. Anyway, have some juice, Eddie. Have some juice. So, and Zuccarello, do you think he's going to come back? Do you think this is going to be a long time benching? Is the Frodo from Moto done?
No, I think he'll be back. I think it's just a temporary thing.
Okay. By the way,
anything permanent with this team? With this lineup?
No, nothing. Frosty's mentioning that Bimbo bread, that Bimbo bread. It's
Bimbo
not
bread?
Bimbo. No, it's the way you pronounce it is Bimbo. It even says it on the thing. That's pretty good bread.
Good.
I like that. What are we talking about?
I don't know.
According to
Andrew Gross, the Rangers' magic number to clinch is any combination of 8 points gained by the Rangers or lost by the Hurricanes. So if Carolina loses tonight in Washington and Wednesday against the Canadiens and the Rangers beat the Sabres and then the Islanders on Thursday, the Rangers are in.
I think there was one other reporter, I don't know what publication, said the Rangers were probably going to make the playoffs. I think Adam Rada had actually commented on it, saying that he obviously doesn't know this team if he's saying that we're making the Rangers, saying the Rangers are going to make the playoffs because we've seen crazier things happen. But I believe as long as Lundqvist is healthy, we're in. We're in, Jerry. Did I have any other rants I wanted to go into? I don't know. Does anybody have any preference who they want to play in the playoffs now that we made it? I'm only kidding. Does anybody say you want? Are you afraid of the Flyers?
No, I'm not afraid of anybody in the Eastern Conference. Afraid? No.
Well, because, you know, again, if I'm talking to you 3 weeks ago, a month ago, we're doomed. We're terrible. We can't score. Pucks are going.
Well, we still can't score, but we're winning games. We still can't score.
How many games can you win by a goal? Seriously,
Rangers,
folks.
The Rangers are finding out.
But, I mean, it's got to stop somewhere. I mean, they have won so many goals. Well, I guess they've lost a lot of games by a goal, too. Conversely, I've wanted to use that word conversely for a week now. Conversely, they have, you know, they've lost a lot of one-goal games. And this just in, Buffalo is down 4-3.
Did you
report that? I know.
Yes.
One of the chatters, Irish Puck 93, reported it, and I thought it was an update of an update. But you're quicker on the gun, my friend. So
I do what I can.
You are a magnificent man, my friend.
Thank you. As far as the Eastern Conference goes, are there teams that worry me more than others? Absolutely. Tampa Bay worries me because the Rangers have trouble with their speed. Same goes for Montreal. I worry less about the Flyers because I think the Rangers have a tremendous. What's that?
Tampa is bad.
Tampa's bad.
Defensively, they stink. Look, they actually have more goals against than goals for.
Yes, they do.
With Dwayne Rolison in net, I ain't buying it. Sorry, they're a one-trick pony with that Stamkos St. Louis line. But you're right. The Rangers
maybe
don't
so a one-trick pony, but it's also a one-trick pony the Rangers have had a lot of trouble with.
I think an extended series. What are you afraid on that team? Matthias Olland? They got nobody on defense. Victor Hedman, that Swedish butt.
They have a quick transition game, and that is where the Rangers struggle. But I'm not afraid of them. Bring them on. I'll bring anybody on in that Eastern Conference. I'm not afraid of the Flyers. They have a huge, in my opinion, goaltending advantage against the Flyers. Same thing goes for Washington. I'm not convinced Washington is anything great. I don't think they're going very far in the playoffs. Boston, I think that would just I think Boston and the Rangers would be a great playoff series.
Great?
Yes, I think it will be. If those two match up in the playoffs, I think they match up very well. I think it's the one. It's maybe the only team in the Eastern Conference. Maybe Buffalo, but Boston's maybe the only team that has an advantage in goal over the Rangers. Thomas has been a little bit better than Henrik for a portion of the season. I just think they match up well with them, and there's a good healthy hatred between the two teams. I think that would be a tremendous series. Washington. The only reason why I don't want to play Washington is because I despise their fans, hate their fans, and I just don't want to hear from them. They made our lives a living hell 2 years ago. Be nice to get a little payback on them, though. Be nice to sweep them right out 7-0, 7-0, 7-0, 7-0. Dubinsky beats up Ovechkin in every game.
Caps are still an enigma. They kind of switched to try to be more defensive, and it just didn't work. And then they've gotten better, and now they've kind of, I'm not afraid of the Braden Holtby, Michael Neuvirth, Varlamov trio of those guys. That goes back to what you said about having a distinct advantage in goal. None of those three guys, I think, can get the job done. Although I haven't seen much of Holtby, but I've seen enough of the other two to think that. I don't know what the situation with Mike is. Is Mike Green coming back?
I don't know.
Does anybody know? Get me an update on that, Cutter. You got enough to do up there in Kitchener.
Didn't Holtby play the one game against the Rangers? I think it was the one the Rangers might have won in. Or did they win one in a shootout against the Capitals or overtime? It was a close game. It wasn't one of the blowout games. I think that's the one Holtby blew. Or maybe it was the one they blew him out. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. Cutter, check into that for me, will you? So, anyway. That's the scoop. Let's get it on. I'm not afraid. I ain't afraid of any big bad wolves, my friend.
Oh, I'm not really afraid of anybody. The Rangers are their biggest, they're their own enemy. I mean, that's it.
Absolutely.
That's it. It's good to see, however, that Marion Gaborik is starting to play a lot better.
Yes.
And he seems to be getting hot at just the right time. That's a good thing.
Our buddy Captain sent me a thing the other day that he was listening to Philadelphia Sports Talk, and I guess they did a little straw poll of the locker room of the Flyers and asked them who the team is they don't want to meet in the playoffs. Take a guess.
Our New York Rangers?
Your New York Rangers, my friend. Nobody wants. I'm telling you, nobody's going to want to play them in the playoffs because they play a playoff style of hockey. They hit, they forecheck, and they have a great goaltender. And that's how you win in the playoffs.
Yes. I don't know why.
Are you okay?
There's
running and groaning going on over there.
I don't know. I don't know why I'm not so, I'm not so sold on this. So you're telling me the Rangers of this season have played 82 playoff games? Aren't they tired? And if it's all said and done, if they played 82 playoff games, they played gritty, and it's been about 4 or 5 games this year, I could say they took the night off. But really, they have played their asses off all year. The struggle and scrap. I mean, there were about 4 or 5 laughers during the year, the 7-0 games. Anytime we played Toronto or Edmonton. I don't know. I don't know why the negative stuff is kind of creeping in with me.
Because you're a Ranger.
I don't know what
shoe.
I guess I'm waiting for the shoe. I guess maybe because I think they are going to make the playoffs. Now I think it's going to be – but really, how – if I really – if I use my hockey sense and what sanity I have left, with Henrik Lundqvist in net, really, how bad could it get? We'll see. Hey, did you see this article about Artem Anisimov?
No, I did not.
How he says that Americans are lazy? No, he didn't say that. I'm only kidding.
And how when he's on the road, he listens to our podcast.
Yes. No, he did not say that. He came out and he said that he was not satisfied with his production this year. He believes, this is from the blog Beyond the Blue Shirts, he says that that he thinks that he his statistics aren't good enough, that he could have been even better. He says that he wants to be up there with Datsyuk, Kovalchuk, Ovechkin, Malkin. I need to improve myself to raise the level of my play. Now, do you guys think that is just like, is this guy, is that a good thing that he wants to be as good as that? Or is it not realistic from what we can tell? I mean, how do you feel about that, Jim?
You know what? It's good to have goals. I mean, he's got 42 points, you know, 18 goals, 24 assists. I don't know if he's that kind of caliber player, but if he thinks he can be that and he's going to keep working on it, God bless him. God bless him. I mean, I like watching him. I'm enjoying having him on this team. I like the way he goes to the net.
I mean, he really thinks that he could – He could.
Marcy, I love you.
Yeah, I just saw her comment, too. I think it's good. What do you want the guy to be? I want to be the next Jed Ortmeyer? I mean, what is he going to say? You know, if he wants to be as good as Datsyuk and Stamkos and Ovechkin and Kovalchuk statistically, let him go for it. I mean, you know, he could develop into somebody. Who are we to tell these guys and nobody? You know, everybody's talking about Manny Malhotra, who has that eye injury, and let's hope his surgery went well today, because Manny was a guy, remember him on the Muckler team, the Ranger Muckler team?
Yep.
He was a forgotten man. I mean, the only thing he was known for was knocking the bejesus, Ken Danico into another dimension. One punch. And he was a guy that looked like one of those nothing role players. Similar to that R.J. Umberger. He was another guy that was a nobody on the Rangers. And it's turned on to be a pretty good hockey player. But Manny was a guy that looked like he was going to be a fourth-line grinder his whole career. And I'm not saying he's a top, you know, was ever a top-line player, but he's great on face-offs. He's a fantastic player. I mean, he's a guy that you'd love to have on your team. So you never know how these guys can pan out. I mean, even to the most astute people like myself, who can predict the a player's career from just watching them.
I got to correct you before you move on. Before the chat group jumps all over you. R.J. Umberger never played for the Rangers.
You sure?
Positive. I believe the Rangers made him some kind of offer, maybe a qualifying. I don't remember exactly. They did pursue him, and
I still have an Ranger uniform.
It fell apart. Maybe an exhibition game, Frosty is saying. I don't know. I don't think he ever played a game for us, though.
I'm looking him up right now.
Pulling up his stats. I don't see any career stats with the Rangers.
He had to play then a preseason, because I remember seeing that loser in a Ranger uniform. I remember making, like, what you call it? R.J. Hamburg. I remember saying that. See, Frosty's saying only exhibition games. Okay. So I stand corrected. So you never know what you're going to get with these guys. And, you know, and as I was bragging about, you know, being able to, I was being a little bit facetious because I'm the guy who saw Chris Pronger as a whaler in his initial, I was actually in Hartford at the Civic Center. And it was a Ranger Hartford game, and I was watching Chris Pronger. He was their number one pick that year. And I was saying to myself, this guy, he's clumsy. He's never going to make the NHL. What a bust. We might see him in the playoffs this year. So, you never know. It's like the New York lottery. You never know.
Mandar coming through here. They only signed him so they could get a compensatory pick. He never played exhibition games either.
Mandar's wrong.
All right, I don't think he's wrong.
No, he's wrong. He has no idea.
Anyway.
He's out of his mind.
Are you ready to go to the phones?
Sure, let's go, baby. I'm ready to rock and roll.
All right, let's open up the phone lines. First up, Robbie, how are you, buddy?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing good, Robbie.
It was great to meet you on Saturday, buddy. Glad you could make it out there.
Yeah.
Thanks. It was great. So thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Anytime. You were the talk of the party, my friend.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. A lot of the women were. A lot of the women liked you.
Did you see Robbie
Braverman, I think.
Did you see Robbie's new profile picture?
Smitten Kitten.
Did you see Robbie's new profile picture on Facebook, Eddie?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, it's him and the beautiful Marcy Braverman.
Oh, what a way to go.
Robbie, you dog.
Well, I had a great time. I'm glad that they won. But, again, it was great meeting all you guys. Let me tell you, I had some interesting
news. How did you like the menu?
What?
How did you like the menu?
Well, I liked it. It was pretty good. Really good. I'm actually going to go there when I go to a game at the Garden. So, very good. Yeah, the ice cream that I had dessert was really, really good. So, I approve of it, if you will.
Good.
You going to meet Marcy and her mom before?
I'm sorry, what?
Nothing. Don't mind me. I was going to ask you, were you surprised how rowdy everybody was?
A little bit. I didn't really expect the F you Reshy chant, so I didn't expect that. But I did expect the Let's Go Rangers chant and the Gold chant. But no, I really wasn't surprised because that's what we are. We're obnoxious, we're loud. So I thought it was pretty good. I liked how everyone. My dad liked everyone too. So thought everyone was nice.
Oh, good.
Good.
Yeah.
So
his dad got a little nervous when he came over, and that beer was sipping.
Oh, yeah, he did get a little nervous. Because I'm obviously no offense. He doesn't know you guys. So, I mean, he knew I call him, but he doesn't know you guys before. So.
No, it's all right. I would have been nervous, too. I honestly didn't even think about it.
He wanted me actually to tell you this. So the reason why he didn't, because he still had back pain. And he actually, I don't mean to get too graphic, but he still has, like, staples in his back. Because, like, the close-up, like, the surgery thing. So. He was still, like, in really pain, but he really wanted to come, like, to meet everyone, the Rangers fans. So that's why he was kind of, like, still down. So that's all.
We're glad he brought you. We appreciate it.
I ate so much I busted the staples in my stomach.
Actually,
I kind of shocked the crowd when I got a Cobb salad. Everyone was like, you having salad?
Oh, I know. You having salad? You're eating a salad?
Did I ever get a Cobb salad? It's like a pound of bacon, a whole avocado I got there.
The funny part is that people are like, Eddie, you got a salad? And you were justifying it by going, well, it's not healthy. You're actually telling people, it's not healthy. Look at it.
The only guy that people like salad, too. We like to graze.
Salad's all right, but I still like... You know, I can eat whatever I want because I only weigh like 120. So, because as you can see, I'm a very skinny boy.
You don't weigh 120 soaking wet with rocks in your pocket.
That's a good picture too, Jim. Yeah. What is a Bowery boy anyway?
You got to look it up.
Oh, I don't like the looks of this.
There were old there were old movies in like the 30s and 40s, and it was like a gang, I guess, in the, you know, and whatever. And they lived down in the Bowery in New York City, and they were called the Bowery Boys, and they were all skinny kids. They wore their hat backwards, and they talked, you know, they were from New York or Brooklyn or whatever, and they talked with the accents and everything. This little skinny kid whose clothes was hanging off of him, because you don't weigh 120 pounds. I got a foot that weighs 120 pounds. You're not even close. You know, real skinny kid, your clothes hanging off, your pants are baggy, you know, the hat on backwards. You had the whole thing going. You know, you were like Butch from Little Rascals or something.
That's good. But there was one thing I have to say, though, which I have to get out. Friday, baby. Let's go Mets. The new season begins. You guys pumped for it?
Yeah, definitely.
Now, Eddie, are you going to watch more games this year?
I said I was going to try, but I'm already getting bored.
But you know what, though? Like I said, you know what? Because the Rangers are most likely going to make the playoffs, my number one priority in sports, because I like hockey better than basketball, will be the Rangers. So I'll be following the Rangers avidly.
I was doubting you there, Robbie, because when we first started talking, it was a lot of Nick talk, and I know they're not doing so well now, so maybe you're jumping on the Ranger bandwagon. But now that hockey is your number one priority over basketball, we welcome you to the right side of the tracks.
Yeah. Hockey, you know, it just has more energy than basketball. So, and of course, baseball is boring, but I still love the Mets. But anyway, so looking forward to these playoffs. But I'm also looking forward to the Mets. But the, like I said, the Rangers are number one. Hopefully they can win the Stanley Cup this year. I'm pumped. You think they'll ask them? How far do you think they'll go in the playoffs?
I think they'll make the second round. That's it.
And you know what?
You know, I'm
they made it to the second round. I would be absolutely thrilled.
I would too.
Absolutely thrilled because that chances are that means they knocked off somebody I despise, whether it be Washington, Pittsburgh, or Philly. Boston, I don't hate so much.
No.
But if they make it to the second round, I would be absolutely thrilled, as every Ranger fan should be. You should be thrilled already with this season. People that get on Facebook and Twitter and do nothing but complain about this team and complain about the coach and how they want him fired, they're morons. Absolute morons. If you can't sit back and enjoy what the Rangers have done this year, there's something wrong with you. I'm sorry, there's something wrong with you. If I told you in October that this team was going to win at least 41 games, make the playoffs.
I thought you did.
I probably did. Because
if we play back the beginning of the season, I think you and Mando had the Rangers winning the division. And I may be wrong on this.
I didn't say they'd win the division. I think I picked them to finish sixth. But either way, if you can't enjoy what they've done this year, then you can't enjoy anything. I'm sorry. You are incapable of joy, period.
What happens if they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, though? For the first time since 97, that would be good.
If they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, I'm going to need a lot of changes of underwear. A lot of them.
Let's see. That would go deep into June. That would be nice to make a strong playoff run. But we're in a youth movement, so.
I'll take what I can get. I would love to see them get out of the first round, because that'll mean they knock somebody off.
Yes.
And after that, whatever. Let the chips fall where they may. This season has been the most fun season they've had in, I guess since the first year after the lockout.
That's true, the 05-06, yeah.
Right.
No, the Mets,
and
like
that, but even
else.
That ended so badly because they were swept out in the first round by the Devils, and Yager hurt his shoulder. And I mean, it ended badly.
No, that was horrible. I remember that. That was horrible.
But this has been,
you know,
more fun because they've come
out
of nowhere.
It's been a really good season. And, you know, again, you know, considering the way last year ended, I'm very happy the way they've come back. And I'm actually proud to say that for not, you know, actually filling in the holes instead of just, you know, recklessly spending money out, like giving out money. So,
right.
You know, again, I'm very proud. And hopefully he'll do the same thing. But one question, though. Are the Islanders officially out of the playoffs now yet? Or they have, like,
yes,
maybe a few more left. They're out?
No, I think they're out. I thought I saw something yesterday that they were out.
When the season started, they were unmathematically eliminated.
Well, all right,
I
Robbie. We'll take some other calls. All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Thanks again for the party. It's very nice meeting you guys on Saturday, all right? You guys are great.
Same here. Anytime,
take
Robbie.
Take care, man.
All right, take care. Goodbye. Good night.
Bye.
What a nice kid.
He is a nice kid. You know what? He takes a lot of crap on the show from the chat room and from us, but he's a good kid. He really is. It was nice to meet him.
Man. Oh, see, Mosh is now coming to the chat room. We got a full chat room here tonight.
Yeah.
Surprised.
Toronto 4-3 over Buffalo in the third. Carolina and Washington 17-03 left in that game. Carolina and Washington tied at 2, 17-39 left in the third in that game. Montreal 2-0 over Atlanta, 5:33 left in the second period. And that is your Warner Wolf scoring update from the desk.
Just want to say I'm looking at the chat room here, and it's a surprise. We have a big chat room going head-to-head against the Paul A.D. show. And I'm a little surprised, though. We have so many people. We've got some people... But some new people, I think. Amy Amano is in here, and she's from the new New York Rangers fan club Facebook. I've seen her. She may have stopped by before. And
nope. I think this is Amy's first time here. I've been trying. She's on Facebook, and I've been trying to get her to come listen to the show for, six months now. And she's finally here, and we're happy to see her.
I see MG. Weissman is in here. That's new. They're new.
No, that's Mark. Called in a couple of times.
Oh, I don't know anything then. All right, you're all old. Enough with that rant. Enough with that bit. Wazili, his first time here. Sam from Bayside, first time here.
Yeah, first time, long time.
Yeah. So, and Andrew from South Florida. Andrew, let me just tell you, I know that you guys don't. When is that Beckett site going to get their trading back up? And I can't trade hockey cards because this stupid site you pay for to just basically exclusively the price your cards and trade, Jim, their trading has been down for like a year. It's killing me. I'm trying to get all my Derek Stepan rookie cards. I can't get them because I like to trade the Nino Niederreiters for Stepan. Anyway, what am I talking about? I just want to air the airing of grievances, even if though it's not festive.
Every day we do a show together, it's Festivus, my friend.
Hey, Zach, did you work at the why am I talking to him like I should just type this? I was wondering if he was at the NHL store today. I thought I saw him. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Are you ready for more calls?
Yeah, okay.
All right,
yep.
Let's see. 201-248. I don't know who this is. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Little Wang.
Little Wang.
Uh-oh.
Little Wang.
How are you, Little Wang?
I'm good. How are you?
So, how do you feel that your dad's team did not make the playoffs again?
Very sad. I'm 7-18.
So what's that line, Little Wang?
I'm selling the highest bidder. So for 5 cents. I'm selling the team for 5 cents. Who wants it?
You're selling the team for 5 cents.
I can only guess by this really bad comedy this has to be John Newman.
Tick. 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 I don't know who that was.
Jesus. I think it was John Newman.
We love you guys, okay? We absolutely do. I think we've made that quite clear. But do us a favor. Don't call up with bits unless we ask, because usually they're not that good. Remember the night Zach tried to call up being Wade Redden?
Nah, see, I feel that you should feel free to freestyle bit. But if bad...
Well, yeah, if you got something funny, then good.
He immediately boomed.
Yeah, I mean.
Which he was.
Yeah. Like the night Zach called trying to be Wade Redden. That was a disaster.
Oh, terrible.
That was a disaster.
Oh.
Got it. Speaking of, Zach, how are you, buddy?
What's going on, guys?
What's going on?
How are you, my friend?
Eddie, I was at the store today.
Were you wearing like a blue shirt and like jeans or something?
Yeah, that's what I always do. I always wear a blue shirt and jeans.
Always? Like you
always.
Never...
Except for my Green Ranger shirt that I have.
Because I saw you on the NHL Live broadcast when they would pan the store.
Was I picking my nose?
No, you were selling merchandise. And then giving the finger. Well, then you would, when the customers would turn their backs on them, you would give them the finger.
Yep.
I saw that Deb Placey, that Two-Face, was in there, and Ken Danico, who is a little self-conscious about the lack of hair he has, because if you see him on the show, on the Hockey Headline, he always wears a hat when he's on around the NHL store for some reason.
I don't know. It was a devil's hat. He wanted to wear it. He just bought it last week, so he's like, all right, I'm going to wear it.
All right, so anyway, you were at the Boston game. I want to hear all about it. You were in the, what are they calling it this week? What's the name of the arena there?
The TD Garden. That's what they call it. Well, no, that's the official name, but everybody still calls it the Boston Garden because that was the original name.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's... that's pretty stupid. All right, so tell me what went on. How was the fans there? How were you?
I was great. The fans were loud. There weren't as many Ranger fans as there were last year when I went for the afternoon game, but there were still enough Ranger fans to back me up.
That's good.
It was still a lot of fun.
When Henrik Gett ran, what was the feeling when, well, especially you're a goaltender. How did you feel?
Yeah, I was screaming nonstop. I was so pissed that there was no penalty call. And they showed the replay, and I got Bruins fans surrounding me, and they're like, oh, he couldn't stop himself because he was being pushed in. No, he had time to control himself, and he crashed right into Lundqvist. Look, I'm sure that, Bergeron, I'm sure he's not a dirty player, but he still is responsible for that. I was screaming nonstop. I was so pissed.
Yeah, there was a lot, it was kind of a scary moment there because usually Henrik, he shakes it off real quick. But this one, he looked a little bit stunned, a little bit dazed. He tried to get up, and he was like, then I got real scared. I said, oh, boy. No way.
I was cursing, screaming. I don't think there are any kids in the area, but I was just screaming and cursing.
Yeah, well, you really aren't a classy guy, and that's why I hang around with you.
Thank you.
How did the Boston fans take the loss coming out of the building?
They didn't want to talk about it. Any Ranger fan that would rub it into their face, you would know that they would probably go nuts. So we really didn't rub it into their faces.
Now, Zach, I would say in the history of this show, I've agreed with you probably 4% of the time.
Okay.
I have to know, and it doesn't make either one of us right or wrong. I'm just saying, I mean, you usually see, what do you think is going to happen down the stretch? And what do you think the Rangers need to do in order to be successful in the playoffs?
The Rangers need to remain focused. They know that this isn't going to be an easy road. You know, they know that one of the tough games is Thursday in Long Island. Obviously, the Islanders are eliminated, but they've been great as of late. Even though we shellacked them in the last game, we can't expect them to come back with some kind of fire, even though there are going to be more Ranger fans than Islander fans at the Coliseum. Tomorrow's game is going to be a great test because the Sabres right now are playing, and last we heard they're losing 4-3. But, a team like the Sabres can come back with a vengeance. They have Miller in net, and I guarantee you he's going to be a big, big challenge for the Rangers. As far as Sunday goes, I'm more concerned about the guy doing play-by-play and the guy doing the color commentating, because that's probably going to be worse than the game. And then the last three games at MSG, the Rangers can't get too comfortable in terms of, you know, they think they're at home and it's going to be an easy stretch for them, because you know that the Thrashers and Devils are going to come back to spoil it for the Rangers. I'm just crossing my fingers that we don't lose the next few games and then find out that it's going to come down to the wire, just like last year.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. I think you got to be concerned that the jersey is going to, you know, be spoiled. I think the Thrashers are pretty much packed it in. But they're still concerned. It's never over until it's over, like Yogi Berra said. Like, I have to explain who said that, because everybody in the world knows that. But, you know, it's, you know, I think they're going to do it, and I think you made some good points. Not to get comfortable and stay focused and have this workmanlike attitude that they do. And let's hope Artie becomes the next Stamkos in the next week or so.
Let's not forget about Stepan. He's been doing really great as of late.
Oh yeah. Well, he took a little dip there, and now he's come back. He's had a solid rookie campaign. Although I think he's 37% on faceoffs, which he needs to it's got to get better. That's just porous. That's why you're playing center if you're that bad, as far as I'm concerned.
Did you just see what DB Maven wrote? He said, time to tank. Get a higher draft pick.
No. DB Maven's quite the caution.
That's Costa's mantra.
Yes, it's a tank. But, I agree with you.
Good. All right, now we're up to 5%.
So the atmosphere
at the game was, Toronto's gore.
Toronto 4-3, 11:45 remaining in the third, and they are on the power play.
Woo.
A shot.
Yeah.
Sorry, Zach, go ahead and finish.
So after the game, I went to Cheers, and it was a lot of fun. Love that restaurant.
Did everybody know your name?
Nobody there knew my name. I'm really upset about that part. But last year when I went, one of the waiters knew my buddy Sean, who took me to the game last year and again this year. And so we got drinks on the house, which is great.
Excellent.
Nice. Good to see young people getting free booze.
Yes.
And this was the same Sean that spoke on the phone on Saturday to you guys.
Oh, he did a good job.
Yeah, he's a big hockey fan. He's like me, our team first and then hockey second, and we all have the same interests. We all hate Crosby, we hate Ovechkin, we want to see our team strive, and we want to see good old-fashioned all-time hockey.
Speaking of which, this just in from Mario Morgado, Sidney Crosby just had a bowel movement while we're updating Sidney's progress.
Yeah. Stay tuned for the Foxwoods 5.
Yeah, stay tuned for the Foxwoods 5. And,
well, I'm not
going
to be the one to change his diaper.
So, all right, Zach, good job. Good job.
All right, Zach. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep, and my friend Sean is going to be coming back into the city on Monday for the Bruins-Rangers game.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, it'll be fun. Talk to you guys later. Have fun.
Take it easy.
All right, so have some juice. Something.
Have some juice.
Good night, guys.
Later.
Okay.
All right, let's keep the party rolling. 203-463. You're on Blue Shirt Band Radio. Is this Mark?
Yes, it is. How you guys doing?
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Oh, really good. I missed you guys the last couple of weeks, but got to call in today. So, First of all, I got a kudos to you, Eddie, because I'm bummed I missed Saturday, not because we won, not because there were like 100 people there, but I am a huge Cobb salad fan.
Wow!
So I would have been there right with you ordering it. I think they're great, so whatever.
Have you ever seen the Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No,
Cobb
I can't
salad.
Stand Larry. Actually, I don't like Larry David very much. I've not watched that now.
Okay. Well, there's a Cobb salad. He meets this guy who claims that his father invented the Cobb salad.
Oh, gee. See, that's one reason why I don't like him is because they had that big salad thing when he was on Seinfeld, so that's not even like an original
right.
thing. You know?
Well,
so,
well,
anyway. But
Anyway,
but I got – go ahead.
What's on your mind, Mark?
Well, I was thinking actually – also, I don't want to leave Jim out. I mean, Jim, you know, he actually knew who I was on the chat room, so that's very impressive. And but, Jim, you should take credit for this. You know, 3 weeks ago, last time I called, you were the one who was, like, kind of getting on Anisimov and saying, you know, he's got to pick it up. Things got to get better. He's not having that great, you know, a session. And I'm serious. Like, the night you said that or the following night, I guess it had to be the following night, he, like, all of a sudden got in people's faces. He didn't score that night, but he was pushing back at a couple of scrums. And then the following game, he started scoring. I'm serious, Jim. You should, like, take full credit for that because he's played really well ever since, you know, you were on him that night, so
well,
for what that's worth.
It's what we do on this show. We resurrect careers.
We
temporarily resurrected Eric Christensen's career.
That's right.
You know, we kind of picked up Henrik Lundqvist and got him rolling again.
Yeah.
It just hasn't worked on Gilroy or Drury.
Yeah, what about Eddie, too? What's going on over there, too? But anyway, sorry. And I guess the other thing, you know, I feel a little bit like I've been reading, you know, Larry Brooks's comments in the Post or whatever, and I kind of feel like it's like, yes, Tortorella deserves some credit for what's going on, you know, because, you know, I was one of those guys saying, you know, back in November, why are we blocking all these shots and Fedotenko and Callahan getting hurt? But I guess, you know, the fact that, you know, after Sunday, you know, the fact that that's a big part of our game, I mean, you gotta like the fact that the guys are doing that, especially now. In March, I think it's worth it, so that was pretty cool. But I still
What was the block shot total on? I think
it was 18. It was 18 in the third period. I remember that, but I don't know what the total for the game was.
Well, I know they showed it at one point. I think it was 20. I think it was 29-12 in favor
okay.
of range. I don't know what the
yeah.
final was. It was pretty
it was pretty amazing. And I forget who was said it. Some commentator said on Hockey Night Live or something. The amazing thing is that everybody's doing it. It's not like a Drury or, you know, one guy or a defenseman who blocks. I mean, you got, like, everybody doing this. It's, you know, Avery was the only one who I think did it, you know, kind of in a way where he almost got hurt. But everybody else, you know, it seemed like they were doing it the right way. They were timing it well. And I just thought, and they weren't doing it in a way that it would affect Lundqvist, you know, deflecting off sticks, you know, where he would have trouble. I thought, wow, this is, you know, this is the time to, you know, I'm kind of appreciative from that standpoint. But I watched the game on Saturday. I know we won. We played really well. But I have trouble with how Tortorella keeps mixing up the lines. I put this on the site, and I actually got some really interesting, you know, opinions. It seemed like it was split. Half the people think that mixing up lines is good. It makes us more flexible, you know, going into the playoffs. Other people are kind of like the way I think, where you really should keep the lines together and work through it and have them get familiar with each other and chemistry and all that. And he still, you know, messes with that. I think he messed with some of the lines last, you know, as early as the first period. There were different centers, and it was like we weren't even like, you know, the game hadn't even unfolded yet. And I was kind of surprised by that. And the power play, too, just frustrates me. There was one time Gabrick wasn't out there at all for 2 minutes. Doobie and Callie weren't on the first unit. You know, stuff like that. McCabe doesn't always come out first. So it's just those couple things. It's like, you know, it's like I should, you know, he's a coach. He should know. I shouldn't have to think of things that I think the coach already should just do, no questions asked. And that's the part, you know, I know I'm like you guys, I'm confident we're going to get into the playoffs. But, you know, you want to see them do well and, you know, and do the best strategy, you know, at the right situation. So that was the only frustrating thing that I thought came out of Saturday, really. But
he's an enigma.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I can't really argue with the job he's done this year.
No, I agree.
You know, there's always going to be things about a head coach in any sport that you're going to second guess, going to make you scratch your head. But I can't argue with the results.
Yeah, that's true. But I guess I'm more like leaning towards, I think it's the youth of the team, you know, I just think there's other factors that play more into, you know, they've won. In some cases, I feel like they've won almost in spite of some of the things he's done. But, you know, you're right. If they were doing really poorly, you know, you'd be on them immediately, and say it's all his fault. So you got to give him some of the credit if they certainly, if they do well. And like you guys both say, getting in. The only thing I would disagree with you, Jim, is if they get past the first round, I like the fact that they just had that first round winning experience, regardless of who they happen to beat. I think, you come back next year with one round, okay, now we're moving on, and now Stahl and all these rookies and everybody else has had that experience of having played a full round and hopefully, won it. I think that would be, that's more value. And of course, for the fans, it's great if we beat somebody, that we despise, but you know what I'm saying? I think that would be a really nice thing if we came away with that. So,
yeah, I'm not arguing with you at all.
So, and I only have one other thing, and I promise I won't mention his name, but Eddie, I had the same bad experience with a certain number 10 that really was, I went to that blood drive, a couple of weeks ago down in Secaucus, and he was there. And actually, Pete Semkowski was there. Stemmer was great. I talked to him for like a half an hour. He was roommates with Terry Sawchuk, and he had his Toronto Stanley Cup ring or whatever. He showed me that. He was
great.
Yeah,
he always shows that.
Oh, my God. I was like, this guy. I forgot. I remember he used to be on MSG once in a while. He should be back. He had stories to tell. I mean, he was really schmoozy. And then Brian Mullen, I only saw him at the end. I ended up leaving just when he showed up. But he was friendly. But, our boy there was just like, hello. How are you? Real short. And to be honest with you, it's a good thing he brought his wife because Kim Alexis showed up and she was the same thing. She was very chatty and, the same thing as the other two guys. She came in very schmoozy and I talked to her about all different kinds of things, modeling, whatever. I couldn't believe I was talking to Kim Alexis.
You're talking about models?
Yeah, well, you know what happened? Here's what happened. I got to tell you. 2 weeks ago, I was in a car, getting my car worked on, and there was this Oprah was on. They put the TV on in the show in the car room while you're waiting for your car to get worked on. And they have, so I don't have any clicker. If I was home, I would have changed the channel. But Oprah had, like, all these supermodels on. So I'm like, all right, so I'll just watch Oprah or whatever. So then I meet Kim Alexis, like, the following Saturday, and I'm like, I can't believe this. So we're talking about Stephanie Seymour and all this other stuff. I'm like, this is unbelievable. I would know nothing about these women if I hadn't just seen this talk show. So, and she was great. She was like the antithesis of her husband. She was like happy to be there. She donated blood herself. She was amazing. I mean, she was like, the way you should be. And I couldn't believe that, that whatever, number 10 was like
four or five times, and it's
right.
Always the same.
Really?
And it's funny him and his wife, because I met his wife too. She
right.
Posed a picture with me.
Yeah.
Very chatty, this and that,
yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just, he's too cool for school.
Yeah,
that,
I just don't get it. He would be nothing. He's basically a has-been. He does a good job on Hockey Night Live, but other than that, if he wasn't such a popular player when he played those couple of years, he'd be nothing with people like, I had his poster in my room. I liked the guy when he was a hockey player back when I was growing up,
right.
And I just couldn't believe it. I was like, this guy, just not what I, just so not what he did. He took the pictures, he did everything, he signed the autograph, but you could just tell. It's like he didn't want to be there. It was just a shame, basically. But thank God the other guys and Kim, they were great. So I had a really good time, and it was nice to do that. So anyway, that's right. So anyway, I'll be there in Philly.
Right.
I'm going to the game on Sunday, and with my nephew lives down in Philadelphia.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm taking
nice.
Him for his 21st birthday, and we're gonna go to a game, and it's gonna be great. I've never been to. Thank God, I never really had to endure the Spectrum, but I heard because I think it's calmer there now than it used to be. But I'll be there with all my Ranger stuff, and we'll see what happens.
All right, Mark.
So anyway, thanks for letting me check.
Man, I hope they're going to win and have a good
time.
Yeah.
All right, I will.
Be careful.
Okay.
Oh, I know. I will, believe me.
All right, Mark. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks.
All about it.
Yep. All right. Take it easy. Yep, bye-bye.
The great Mark.
The only thing I like in Philly is that Chickie and Pete's. You ever been there?
No.
It's a sports bar restaurant. It's named a lot of people name it in the top five sports bars in the country or on the East Coast. They have lobster fries there. Pretty good.
No, I've never been there.
Place.
Been to...
Yeah. The only thing is, it's full of Philadelphia fans, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's half the reason. I go to Philly, I get my cheesesteak, I get some pretzels, and I go to whatever game I'm going, and then I run for my life out of there.
I feel, and this may be blasphemy, especially to my larger mammal friends, out there, I feel the Philly cheesesteak is way overrated. I don't find the food pleasure meter reaching anywhere around 7 after I've eaten one of them. I there's so much I've eaten that I just don't put the Philly cheesesteak up there. It's just not
I've seen enough.
I've eaten enough. Apparently not.
I think I just ate everything.
I think I just ate everything, Jim.
Well, it depends on where you get a cheesesteak from. I mean, I like, you know, I'm partial to Jim's and Pat's. And Gino's got a decent cheesesteak, too, in Philly. And, you know, I like them. When I get into Philly, I'm having a cheesesteak.
There's a place in Atlantic City called White House Heroes.
Oh, where the hookers
hang out. You know where the hookers hang out?
The
White House Heroes, they have heroes the size of baseball bats. When you come out of there, I mean, and they're good, but they're me and Mandar have had some heroes over there. Why are we talking about food? Is it the freaking Food Network now? It's all about the joy of the Rangers. Remember about a month ago, I said, you better join my Ranger army. I don't want no defectors. I don't want any, what do I want? And nobody going AWOL? Well, we came through the tough times, ladies and gentlemen. We're marching towards the playoffs. And the Ranger army's intact. We're mechanized. We're moving. Sorry, had a psychotic break there for a second. High C just joined us.
The great High C, whose presence was missed over the weekend.
Yeah, he was busy.
Sorry, I didn't get to see him while I was in town, painting the light, tripping the light Ronkonkoma, as they say.
Oh, boy. They must... All right, so
we painted that town silly on Friday.
Oh, yeah. I was in bed by 7. I was a bad host, ladies and gentlemen. Just sitting in my house. I was like, I'll take you out to eat. All right, 7 o'clock. Good night. Here's the remote. I did show you a vintage Met game, which we
yes, you did.
From 1981, which we found that Howard Hughes used to dress up as a woman. And go to Toronto Blue Jay games or something.
I talked to my wife Friday night. She said, "So what are you doing?" I said, "I'm watching TV." She said, "Oh, you and Eddie are just sitting there watching TV?" And I said, "No, Eddie went to bed." She's like, "What time is it there?" I said, 7:30. She says, "He went to bed?" And I said, "Well, he said he was going to lay down and that he'd probably be back out, but that was about an hour and a half ago." I said, "That whole thing is happening."
That I don't know what it was. I think it was last week hanging out with Paulie D. Wiped me out.
Yeah, that must be it. He took it all. No. Took it all out of you.
Whole falconry thing and the whole thing. I just had enough. And it was nothing against you. I knew, you know, you're like Gloria Gaynor. You will survive. You're low maintenance.
I'm self-sufficient.
Some people are high. Yeah.
You know, I got my
remote.
Laptop. Give me the remote and the laptop and Wi-Fi's on. I'm good. I was fine.
I know we get Family Guy. I know you love that show. They run it 400 times a day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was just white. I don't know what it was. This fast, exciting lifestyle that I live. So,
well, you know what it is. I got into town early in the afternoon, and the first thing we did was we went to the local high school and we ran the track. I mean, we did what, 3-4 miles? The last 2 miles we were dead sprint. So
I'm one of those people. I have to exercise. I have to always be going. I've got to get my cardio, and even with you around, you know, I'm a gym rat.
Absolutely true. Absolutely
and
true.
I know you're the same way.
This man run the hurdles.
Oh, yeah. Why are you telling the truth that we went to a pizza place?
We went to a pizza place, downed an entire pizza, washed it down. A couple of Diet Pepsis, of course.
Yeah, of course.
then we went and painted Walmart. That was fun. We had a great time. We laughed. That's all that matters. And we laughed and laughed. That's all I care about. We're having a good time. It was fun. We're in the waning minutes in Toronto, it would appear. Toronto's up 4-3. I thought they were on the power play, but it must have ended. So it's about 2 minutes to go in that game. They're up 4-3. And the rest of the scores, the NHL doesn't want you to know because they're not bringing them up. So why don't we go and we'll bring in Mandar for the last, whatever we got left, half hour, I guess we got left in the show? Yeah. So we'll bring in Mandar as soon as I can pull him up on the switchboard. Let's see, we got him.
Have been pulled up?
There you go. Good evening, Mandar. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. Fine show that you guys had there on Saturday. Sounded like a good time had by all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We always have the audio problems when we do these live things, but I always want to do them, and despite the fact that I know it's going to be an unmitigated disaster.
I will tell you, though, it was much better than having to listen to the Jack Edwards snooze fest on the Bruins broadcast. My God. Homer announces are one thing, but this guy, after Lundqvist got run into, he was wondering why they didn't put Henrik in the 15-minute quiet room for concussion-like symptoms and actually called out the Rangers all-star trainer Jim Ramsey for not putting him there. Then, of course, accusing of the Rangers of diving every time and every time they got hit. It was just amazing to hear the homerism, but you know, it was in the end it was quite fun to watch them not be able to get a shot through in the third period. Rangers blocked more shots than the Bruins actually got on net in that game. That was an amazing statistic.
How many blocked shots did they finish with?
I think it was like 28 or 29, but they actually had more blocks than the Bruins actually had on net.
That's awesome. Gotta love that. Buffalo is on the power play. 23 seconds to go. Oh, it's over? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm following
it's
on
the report.
Gotcha.
But it's a 4-3 final.
Okay.
Carolina,
watch it on TV. You're a minute or two ahead of me, so I was just following on the computer here. Carolina,
Washington didn't have 2.5 minutes to go in overtime. They're tied at 2.
Okay, so Carolina gets a point. Montreal still over Atlanta, 2-0 in the third. 16 minutes to go on that one. So there you have it. All right, I'm sorry, Mandar. Go ahead.
That's okay. Interesting. I mean, the tone. 8-1-1 in the last 10. Before that, the sky was falling. We were all going to, you know, tank the season to get a better draft pick, you know, and now we're talking about possibly getting as high as the 6th seed. Just the peaks and valleys of being a Ranger fan, you know, those people who are only going back to the 90s, folks, this is the way it's been forever. Just, you know, if for those people who only knew the dark ages of 7 years of not making the playoffs, they don't realize that we've gone every year, even in the cup year, if you think about it, you know, the Rangers went through the regular season, went through the first and second rounds like nothing, and then they just had to make it so we couldn't enjoy it. We had to be sweating up until the very end against the Devils, and even so much so against the Canucks, so we all say that being a Ranger fan is never an easy job, but my goodness, we go up and it's a Sybil fest every year.
Yep. It's never easy. But, you know, I thought the Rangers were – I mean, we did have that losing streak there. But even during the losing streak, they were getting a lot of bad bounces. There were like 3 games where it could have been the other way and – it looked desperate, you know, and of course people were saying trade Gaborik and fire Tortorella, and everybody wanted to shake up. But, I mean, wouldn't you agree in the assessment that this team has been much more entertaining to watch and obviously more proud than last year's team, who just missed the playoffs?
It's interesting, too, because Gaborik was a more dynamic player last year, so you would figure that watching him would have been more exciting than this year's version that has 20 goals. But, you know, the effort is there consistently every night. And I don't know. I think that a lot of fans have realized this, too. But enough can't be said about the number 3 and 4 defensemen being – you don't even realize they're rookies unless you actually say it. You know, the league talks about all these rookie of the year candidates, and rightfully so. You know, the guy out there, Couture out there in San Jose, or, you know, the guy out there in Carolina. And these guys, you know, the flashy players. I won't even mention the idiot out on the island. You know, these guys that get the goals, that get the glory. But I put any one of them up against either one of those two defensemen on the Rangers' second pair for Rookie of the Year. And that's not something that's even being mentioned in any conversation, much less having a guy like, you know, Stepan, who's you know, had a great rookie year, too.
Yeah, unfortunately, I guess, you know, unless you're logging, well, I guess, you know, I don't know how much Sauer and McDonough are logging, and Sauer has played more games, right, than McDonough?
Right, McDonough's been only in the 30s, right, but they're plus 17 and 18.
Right.
Wow.
And unless you're playing major minutes like and scoring, it's just not going to happen. Like last year, Tyler Myers, you know, he played some, you know, he was playing 21 minutes and you know, up there and scoring. So, yes, you make a good point, you know, that Michael Sauer for a defenseman, purely on what the name of the position is, defense, has had a tremendous Rookie of the Year, you know, type of season, if we're just going to base it on that.
You know, if you flash back to training camp in September, not one, I can't imagine any knowledgeable Ranger fan, writer, or anybody that followed the team would have even been able to predict that Michael Sauer would be not only just a part of the defense, but an integral part of the defense. A guy, he's the number 3 defenseman on this team right now. Nobody foresaw that coming in. Look at that coming out of camp. You had him, you had a guy like Boyle who wasn't expected. I mean, Tortorella, I think, said it the other day. He expected him to be down in the minors to start the year. And these guys came to camp with a goal in mind, and they went and took off from there. And then, with all the injuries, now all the injuries seem to be forgotten now because they're pretty much healthy right now. But we at one point we had no Callahan, no Dubinsky. I mean, we had so many injuries to key players. Gaborik, I mean, you name it, it goes on, and they overcame that. I mean, I forget the lineup when we beat Vancouver, but there was no Callahan and no Dubinsky in that game. And I don't think Gaborik was in that game either. I mean, and of course, no Prospel at that point. I mean, look at the team that won, the Chet Kolariks of the world. And this team beat a team that is still the number one team in the league. And they've been able to do it all year long. It's an amazing year when you look at the accomplishments and what you thought the expectations were going into the year coming off of a non-playoff year last year.
I agree.
Yep. Said
so,
it perfectly.
What do you, I mean, what's the, first of all, to disagree with the great Mandar really is to kind of, that's just being foolish. So you try not to do it. But I wanted to ask you about the Avery thing. Do you concur with my friend Jim here? He thinks that Avery has basically, you know, is seeing his last days here as a Ranger.
You know, I see Avery, he'll be in the lineup for the playoffs. He'll be in the lineup. I think that they'll sit Zuccarello in favor of Avery, at least in the first or second game. It doesn't matter. I mean, it looks pretty much like we're going to face either Boston or Washington. And I think that he'll sit Zuccarello. I think Zuccarello now is kind of being exposed, not necessarily for being a bad player, but more or less not able to get to that physical grind that this time of the year really represents. I think Avery will have a shot to prove it wrong. Now, you know, that one playoff year against the Thrashers, he just came up huge, and against the Devils, he came up huge. And it's funny, too, because then in the second rounds in both of those years, he was pretty much invisible. So I think he'll get a little bit more minutes as we go down the stretch when the Rangers clinch in the next couple of games. It'll be really interesting because he'll get more minutes because I think the Rangers won't want to jeopardize the more, so to speak, important players. He'll get more ice time. But I'll tell you what, he'll get the playoff nod for at least the first two games. And if he shows nothing there, then I agree. Then he's not going to be a Ranger for the rest of whatever playoff run we have or in the future.
Carolina won in the shootout.
No, it's 1-0 Carolina right now in the shootout.
It's still going on.
I'm sorry. I thought he was declaring a winner there. I apologize.
No, Skinner scored on the first one. They're only after the first shot.
I apologize, Dave.
What's that?
I think you really make a good point there with the playoffs. I think you got to start him in the first game because he's just something you got to worry about when you're playing when the other team, just his presence. But if he turns out to be a dud, takes some bad penalties, and then he's out.
Exactly. He's on a short leash, obviously, but he can be effective. I mean, it was so much fun to watch him be that pain to Kovalchuk, against the Thrashers, and to really just annoy the whole Devil team in that series. Now, again, against Washington, is he going to be able to do that to an Ovechkin, to a Semin, to a Backstrom? Possibly. I mean, their goaltenders have no experience really in the playoffs or any success there. Could he get under their skin? Absolutely. For the Bruins, not as much. I mean, he's good in short spurts with them, but that's about it. So it'll be an interesting thing. But unfortunately, I don't see Zuccarello having much of a role from here on out for the rest of the year in games that matter. I think that the team is turning into their playoff mode, actually has been. But that playoff mode is more of the grinding, strong physically on the puck. And it's no knock on a guy that's 5'6", 5'7", but he's just, I haven't seen a guy get knocked down this so much since Pruka in a strong wind. Canes won in the shootout.
So the Canes have won in the shootout and gotten 2 points. Well, that's not good.
Well, that's fine. They're far enough behind us anyway. Buffalo losing was the key. Yeah,
I think, Zuccarello still, I think he's strong for his, I haven't really seen him get knocked down as much as you have. But again, I don't want to disagree with you, Mandor. he is very strong for his size, and he does battle for the puck well. I'm not so sure I'm sold on he's out of their plans as far as the playoffs come. Although, if the Rangers struggle to score, I could see him working his way back into the lineup in the playoffs if he doesn't.
That'll be their answer. Yeah, that would be. See, now and that's a key thing, too. I mean, we all know that the scoring is at a premium in the playoffs, but you got to be able to play that grinded out game. The guy, to me, that is kind of is the incredible enigma is obviously Christensen, who's going to take a lineup spot, even though no shootout in the playoffs coming around. But does this guy come back and light it up with a 4-point night? Because he can put the puck in the net. And the motivation of the playoffs should be enough. But, my goodness, that guy, it's so frustrating to see this guy in the ice with the kind of hands that he has. And I think that he, in the playoffs, could be a wild card where he can almost sneak up on some teams in a way where they're focusing on the obvious but not on him. And I think it was a good move towards taking him off of that line with Gabrick. and letting him go on his own. Maybe he gets matched up against a fourth line that isn't going to be as defensively responsible. Maybe he can, you know, take advantage of that in a playoff setting. But man, that guy, he can, if he just taps into some of that talent, he could be somebody that would make a difference in a playoff series, because they're not going to expect him.
I know, but I don't expect him. I just, you know, it's the only reason he's even on the Ranger team is that he has the potential for offense. You know, very few teams have guys like that are on just because he may have the potential. He doesn't actually produce. I mean, you know, he has a flash of one or two games.
Right.
And that's it. He's just, that's why he is so disliked by Ranger fans, because of, you know, disappearing for nights on end. And he, like you said, he takes up a roster spot. And sometimes I wonder, you know, why does he get a pass? And especially in the playoffs, there isn't going to be no shootout. There isn't going to.
Right.
We got him for the power play. Well, how good is he on the power play? You know, it's going to be actually, here's a question I don't know the answer to, and I figure you know it, Mandar. When the playoffs start, is there some kind of expanding of the roster, or is it basically like, you know, not baseball, or is it basically they have to stay with the same amount of players, skaters, and goalies?
Well, it's the roster is the same, but you could certainly, you know, you can certainly, you know, sit anybody you want. You can bring up anybody. If you remember your Ranger history, I mean, you remember Mike Richter's first game ever with the Rangers was a playoff game. They brought him up to play Pittsburgh in game four of that series. A guy like Bobby Sheen back in 79. I mean, I can go way back now, but you can bring up anybody, you know, that...
A Dallas Eakins, perhaps?
Dallas Eakins, exactly. You know, or... Yeah, thanks for Johnny McClain and breaking Sundstrom's arm. But, you know, no, there isn't any restriction on bringing up or sitting a guy out in any kind of a playoff game. You know, you have your set lineup like you always would, and you'd have your black aces, so to speak, that'll be sitting, you know, healthy scratches, whatever. They can always do that, move guys up and down as they see fit. They just have to be on the 50-man roster, that's all.
Atlanta has scored. It's 2-1 up in Montreal now in that game. 9:43 remaining in the third.
Okay. All right.
And I'm going to bring in DV Maven here, if I can get the switchboard to work. There we go. DV, how are you?
The voice of reason.
DV? Uh-oh. Well, he's not there.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm TV Maven.
All right. Well, DB, you'll have to try and call again. Anyway, back to what we were saying.
Hi, I'm DB
Maven. He's usually loud on the microphone, more like this. Good evening, gentlemen.
You know, the problem is this. I mean,
that's pretty
good.
Know,
he's very, you know, he's very deliberate, very cerebral compared to us monkeys.
Right.
Uh-oh. I don't want to go sell. We'll get thrown off the air. But, what else we got? DB, you want the air yet?
No, he's not back. I don't know
what
happened.
Now they have Buffalo tomorrow night. They're playing a desperate team in their building. Tomorrow's game should be really, really, I think the most difficult game down the stretch for the Rangers is going to be tomorrow night. And it's going to show a lot, because after Buffalo coming off of a loss today, and tomorrow now, basically, you know, clinging to a playoff spot, it's pretty interesting. And if you remember, a lot of Ranger fans were so concerned about games at hand that teams had on us, behind us. And look, all of a sudden everything's caught up. And people wondered, well, you know what, we're only 4 points ahead, but they got three games at hand. And it begs the question, would you rather be, you know, have the points in the bank and have to have the other teams win in order to get to you, or would you rather be behind but you could win in order to get ahead? I would rather have the points in the bank. Let somebody else, you know, have the pressure on them to try to go ahead and do it. They had at one point they had four games at hand on the Rangers, right?
Yeah.
And they not making up any ground because of the games in hand. And, you know, now I believe they're just about even in games played if I see the schedule right.
Yeah. Well, you're right about that. I just guess it's inherent in the Ranger fan to, first of all, I don't know why every season the Rangers play, we always are like, you know, we always have more games played than everybody else when it comes down to the stretch. I don't know how the season works like that, but I guess when you're a fan of this team, I mean, you know, for lack of a better word, I mean, you're used to blowing things. I mean, you blow leads, you blow this, you know.
Well, they have intent to blow.
The intent to blow. They have the actual unintent to blow. And after it was so close last year, I mean, people just didn't want to go through that again.
Right.
And I know what you're saying. You know, it's a good way to look at it, you know, and not many sports fans or even sports commentators look at it that way. They always look at, Buffalo's got Sam. Buffalo's got 31 games at hand. And I feel like, you know, it's getting tight. It's getting tight. Buffalo's only played 10 games. They got 72 games left to make up. They're right on the Rangers' tail. And they, you know, instead of saying, well, Rangers got the points, it's up to Buffalo to win those games. Pressure's on them.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, teams that are struggling to get into the playoffs, teams that are, like, you know, looking to get into those 6, 7, and 8 spots, they got to play desperate hockey every night. And there's a reason that those teams are usually down in that area of the conference. I mean, look, it's no secret that, you know, if you're, you know, 7, 8, 9 in the conference, you're not, you know, the best team of the bunch. So to have to say, well, you know what, we're only 4 points ahead, but they got 3 games in hand. Well, they got to win those 3 games, and they haven't done it all year. So, you know, I'd rather have the points in the bank.
And I think with tomorrow's game, I like to play a team on the second night of a back-to-back, especially when – but the only thing is the Rangers lack the firepower. I can't say that because when I was at the Montreal game, they came out with a 5-goal first period. But to come out and establish that first period right away and, you know, get, you know, 2 goals or so in that first period, the Rangers, once they're up 2 goals, I mean, they're a hard team to come back against because they continue to work. They can get the puck out of the zone quickly. They don't have to worry about scoring or the transition game. And they're a fairly good team with a lead. Obviously, they're undefeated going into the third period all year with a lead. They're somewhere in 24, 25, 0, and whatever they are. Certainly with a lead. Buffalo, you know, their backs are against the wall. They've got to beat the Rangers. And, you know, we said it all year, big game, but, you know, another big game. You know, all of them are big now. There's, what, 6 left. So, it's going to be an interesting game.
And you realize, you know, the Rangers have been so successful on the road this year. If I'm not mistaken, I believe that if they win tomorrow, they either tie or set a new Ranger record for most road wins in a year. They're right around the 94 teams record for most road wins in a year. I'm not sure if they tie it or they would go ahead, but isn't that amazing to think about with this team and the injuries and the lack of scoring and yet how well they can play on the road, which really makes you angry because they can't play home worth anything. But
they've been better at home the last month, though, thankfully. Right?
Yeah, they've won some big games at home. Yeah, they have been a little bit better at home. And so, you know, we'll see. I'm just going to tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, if Jochen Hecht scores against us tomorrow, I'm going to go ballistic. I'm going to probably – no, I can't say it. But I probably will murder somebody tomorrow. Oh, wait. Can I say that? Is that against FCC regulations?
We're not regulated by the FCC.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm going to murder me a moron tomorrow if Jochen effing Hecht scores. Because that guy constantly scores against us. All right. Sorry. Again.
That's okay.
All right.
No sign of BB Maven.
Ah, who needs him? He's a bum. So what else we got?
Well, I'm looking at the I'm trying to look at the Rangers record. Let's see. If they win tomorrow night, it would be their 24th road win of the year. And I'm gonna
That would tie the record.
Let me pulling them up as we speak. But I mean, that's the other thing that bodes well for them in the playoffs. You know, they're going to be, you know, they're not going to have home ice advantage. It's probably better that they don't.
I don't think it matters in the Rangers' case. I really don't. I think, especially if they're playing a team that's got, you know, the pressure's on them to win at home, the other team.
Right.
The Rangers, Rangers have no pressure. And they should have pressure home or away because really, other than a few lunatics out there with Ranger fans, nobody's expecting anything. I mean, there's some wackos out there who I embrace who might think the Rangers can win the Stanley Cup, but it ain't happening. It's not going to happen this year. I don't think it's going to happen next year and probably the year after that. Well, the year after that or the year after that. What the hell are we doing a show for? No. I just think that, I'm embracing what you guys are saying, but I'm still cautiously optimistic about what is actually going to happen. But like you said, I'll sign the papers right now. Second round exit with a decent showing. I think as a fan, you cannot be disappointed with that the way they played this year and that whole bit. And, of course, I'm going to be rooting for them to win every game. I mean, you know, it goes without saying. But I really stuttered there. I heard the reverb there.
No, that was me sneezing.
I want to say Marcy's calling in, so I'll shut up. Oh, why should I shut up? Because Marcy's calling in. The Rangers, you can't be disappointed. I really want to stop the whole you have to win the whole thing or nothing mentality that goes on in New York sports. I think we should be happy that our team is respected, and we respect them, and we're proud.
Marcy, why do you wait until the last 2 minutes of the show to call in? Marcy?
Hello?
732.
Hello?
Marcy, is that you? 259?
Hello?
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 Marcy,
hello?
Is that you?
Wait. Hello?
Hi, Marcy. Why do you wait until the last 2 minutes to call in?
Wait, no, was it Mandar who told me to call in?
Yeah,
someone
he told
you
to call
in.
He told you to call in like 10 minutes ago.
Someone told me to call in, and I'm not really sure why.
You add so much flavor to the show, Marcy.
Mandar, absolutely correct. 1994 team won 24 games on the road.
Did you doubt that?
No. No. I just know you like to hear me say, Mandar, you are absolutely correct.
So,
Marcy, what did you think about this Ranger get-together we had on Saturday?
Oh, my God. It was so much fun. You guys are hilarious. I love Frosty. Frosty is by far, like, top three.
How about the great Mario Morgado, the Cuban missile from Vermont?
He's like top two.
Wow.
Where does that put me and Eddie?
Jim and Eddie obviously are like one and the same.
Wow, look at that.
I definitely had a lot of fun.
Six of the same.
No, like, you guys there are some pretty crazy people. Like, I thought I was nuts. You guys are crazy. But no, I mean, it was great. It was great.
And
well, we appreciate you coming on your birthday.
So I showed up like 20 minutes late, and I get a text from Jim, and he was all sad, and I'm like, Jim, I'm like two minutes away, I'm coming. And I'm sorry that my dog is barking. I don't know if you guys hear her, but so did someone want to ask me like a specific question?
I want to ask you a question. What's with your where does your extreme hatred of the Flyers come from?
Okay, so this is something. Okay, so I know today it's like the Devils and it's Pittsburgh. I mean, I don't like them either, but I find them more of an annoyance rather than teams that I like despise per se. I just find them really like irritating. Whereas I look at the Islanders and I look at Philly, and I start like foaming at the mouth. Like they're just teams that I like just hate, and like I wish bad things on them and on their fans. So I think that's the difference for me, and I guess that's just because of the stories that were just passed down to me from my parents and from my grandparents. Going to games growing up in the Garden and things that have been done to them in the Spectrum and in the Coliseum. So, and I think Flyer fans have been the worst by far. So, one of the greatest stories I heard was the opening over the visiting team's locker room that is now a NHL regulation was because of the Flyers visiting Madison Square Garden. That happened because of us. We were the first arena to do it because MSG fans were throwing so much crap onto the Flyers team as they skated onto the ice that MSG had to cover their entryway onto the ice.
I didn't know that.
And then it became
it makes
a league standard.
Sense.
I found that really interesting. So,
and
my grandfather hates the Flyers. Hates the Flyers. So
didn't he say that Dave Schultz was a member of the Third Reich?
My God, he thinks they're like all Nazis. All Nazis. This is a Holocaust survivor. Like, this is the man who's actually seen and lived real Nazis. And he's so big with Nazis. So, yeah. So,
it's funny because in the Hockey Hall of Fame, there is a helmet.
Raider sent me the helmet. Adam Raider sent me a picture of the helmet with a text message that said, "Your grandfather was right. David Schultz was really a Nazi."
Yeah. It's a German infantry helmet that has Sergeant Schultz, not Sergeant Schultz, that was from Hogan's Heroes, but like a Schultz on it.
I know that.
Yeah. And some guy in the stands used to go around with it. So I said, I think your grandfather's right. I'll stand behind him.
But do you guys understand my comparison between like my generation of the Penguins and the Devils versus, I'd say, the Islanders and the Flyers?
Yes, I can understand it. You know, I understand it, and you know, it's you know, like Robbie doesn't understand my disdain for the New York Islanders because
I foresaw them in the 70s, right,
and the night, you know. 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, they won the Stanley Cup.
Right.
And I wore a Ranger hat every day to school. And I was emotionally scarred. And I've never gotten over it. So, yes, I understand that. But I also understand the Flyer thing goes deep with the older, really, even in the newer, because the Flyers have done a lot of dirty.
The Flyers have done some messed up stuff. Absolutely.
Nasty things. Hockey in general. hockey fans, especially you even hear it when Emil Francis talks about the Flyers, he still calls them a bunch of goons.
They ruined
They ruined hockey there for a while, in their opinion. And when the Canadians beat them and kind of retook back their game, you know, it was a big thing. So it's a lasting thing. I looked at that jersey and I never looked at it in any kind of affection or it's always like
hatred.
Everyone
it's
who wears
utter,
I hate
adulterated hatred. I hate them. I hate them. I can't respect them. I cannot respect that team. No matter how good they are. If they win a Stanley Cup, I can't do it. I cannot respect that team ever.
They're not winning a Stanley Cup.
No, but like if they were to, because of their history and how they ruined the game, I can't.
I agree with you. I mean,
I'm with
that's
you.
That's one team. I'm with you.
The city of Philadelphia deserves nothing.
Yeah, well, you guys, I know there's you got your giant Philadelphia. Philadelphia's a pretty much, come on, let's face it. The sewer.
The cesspool is disgusting. It holds.
It is. But I'm tired of seeing my teams lose to them.
Well.
That's the board, you know. Eagles fans, Phillies fans, they're all animals.
Yeah, there's no better way to put it. They are animals. Filthy
my brother,
animals.
My brother drove to the Wachovia Center, and he parked there, and he has New York plates. After the game, his entire car was keyed, and his tires were slashed just because he had New York plates.
Wow.
That's stupid. He could have been a Philly fan, for all they knew.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he could have been, like, you know, just from New York.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
Yeah.
Could have been a rental.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, yeah. They're animals. Animals, I tell you. Well, Marcy, I got to thank you. You have warmed the cockles of my heart by calling into this show tonight.
Good. Nice to know I'm good for something, huh?
That's why I requested it.
All right, guys. Thank you for everything. I had a really good time last weekend. And have
good.
A great night,
no
okay?
Problem.
All right.
Okay, take
thank
care.
You, Marcy.
Bye.
All right, gents.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get, I'm gonna go get dinner.
Night, folks.
Yeah.
All right. Good night, guys.
I'm going to eat a Cobb salad and some juice.
But it's not healthy.
Followed by 20 minutes of Pilates.
All right.
All right, good night, everybody.
Good night.